Detroit Beard Collective is a proud sponsor of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
Guys, tired of trying to make that burly beard of yours look and smell good? Then check this out. Straight out of the Motor City, where they know a thing or two about being tough, comes Detroit Beard Collective, specializing in making that facial hair look good with products like beard butter, beard oils and soaps, specialty combs, and so much more. Come check out the line today at DetroitBeardCollective.com. DBC takes pride in using Detroit and Michigan-based companies and ingredients in all aspects of their product development and manufacturing as they continue to build Detroit's premier grooming company. Even burly dudes like to look and smell good, and DBC will make that happen. Do yourself and your badass beard a favor and log on to DetroitBeardCollective.com and check out all the amazing products they offer. And when you're ready to check out, use promo code SJPDBC to receive 10% off. Detroit Beard Collective, cleaning this world up one beard at a time.
I think if I, hold on, Brad, if I push this button, and I think this, man, dude, it's been so long since we've been in the studio. I don't know what the hell. I think we're on the air.
Are we on air?
All right, the producers are saying we're on the air. Hey, wow. All right, welcome back inside a Creaking Door Paranormal Radio.
Well, it's been a while.
It's been a long while, that is for sure.
And it's not because we've been lazy and sitting around in front of the boob tube with
Cheetos.
Well,
maybe a little bit.
Well,
I mean, that's been going on, but that's not why.
That's part of life. Yeah, but
that's right.
Right, man, it's been a crazy, what's it been, a year and a half?
Year and a half?
Somewhere in
wow.
there.
Wow, yeah.
You have been very busy, and congrats to you and your wife. You bought a radio station.
We did. Why not?
So
right?
that keeps you a little bit busy.
Exactly. And then in that transition, we decided if we're going to own a radio station, we might as well put the Creaking Door Paranormal Studio here.
Exactly. So we ended up and moving.
Yeah.
And I've been traveling literally
like
around
crazy.
The world.
Yeah, you've been to England and Australia.
Cuba.
Cuba.
Did some ghost hunting in Cuba.
Yeah.
That was great. I was sitting one night in Chip Coffee called out of the blue. So
right.
Medium Chip Coffee. And he said, "Hey, Brad, you're a big Hemingway fan, are you not?" And I said, "Yeah, I am, Chip." We'd had this discussion over dinner at some point. And he said, "I just got booked to do an event in Cuba. And they really want, they're going to hit a couple of Hemingway's old stomping grounds down there and his house, Finca Villa," which I'm like, "God, you've got me on board right now." And he said, "Well, I could use somebody to help with the ghost hunts and they would be interested in having you do a presentation on Hemingway and his life in Cuba." I'm like, "Yeah, I can absolutely do that." So the next thing you knew, I was packing bags and heading to Cuba.
Not bad.
No. Spent a little bit of time down there. It was a lot of fun. Had a great time. Of course, with the political environment down there, it's not like you just walk in and out every day, so
right.
It was a unique experience. Like I said, been all over the U.S. This spring, spoke at the first Bayou City Paranormal Symposium down in Texas.
That's right.
A few old Creaking Door guests that we've had on a regular basis there, author Greg Lawson, Nikki Folsom, the godfather, John Zaffis, was there. Had a couple barley pops with Johnny.
Just a couple.
Yeah. I think Chili's was really ready for us to leave town by the end of the weekend, so... Yeah, and then we decided to write a book.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in all of our free time down there. You know what I found interesting is your connection to Hemingway and how it's really kind of really popped up out of nowhere with relation to the paranormal, the event in Cuba.
Right.
And then about a month ago, we met Laurie Stempler, author from Michigan, who did a Haunted Lighthouse series, and she was up here in our hometown speaking, and we ended up going out and having a few barley pops with her afterwards. And come to find out, she's she's part of like this huge Hemingway
Michigan Hemingway Society. So we've kind of got that banter going back and forth right now, and I'm hoping to hit their next event downstate sometime. I believe this October. So yeah, it's kind of cool when you can blend your passions.
Right. Absolutely. And as you had said, speaking of our passions, we were able to do that this year right after Michigan Paranormal Convention last August. Rosemary Ellen Guiley had approached us.
Yeah.
She's a regular, obviously, at our ML Paracon. And anyone who follows Rosemary knows that she's an outstanding author.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what, over 70 books?
70-some books out on any aspect of the paranormal, metaphysical you can think of.
Right. And she had approached us, and because she owns Visionary Living Publishing Company. And she had asked us, would you guys be interested in writing a book? Well, Brad and I, when we got the message, kind of looked at each other with a big smile because we had been talking about it for a couple years.
Yeah, and as it happened, we'd already started briefly, roughly, on a book to a different, little bit different slant, which got put on the back burner. Rosemary wanted us to write about our 20-plus years in the paranormal field, along with our team, the Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research Society. So we brought in the third founding member, Steve LaPlante, along with the two of us, and came up with what is now known as Upernatural Haunts.
Yeah, Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research Society case files. And basically what we did was we opened up our case files to a handful of our favorite cases from over 20-plus years in the field.
And that was such a blast.
It was.
Just going through, there were things that I'd forgotten completely about old investigations, you know, from 10, 15 years back.
Right.
And it was just that nostalgic walk down memory lane while writing this.
You bet.
I had such a great time working on this book.
Yeah, so did I. I absolutely loved it. And, you know, echoing exactly what you said, just bringing up wonderful memories and seeing it all come together. Now that it's put together and in the book, it's even more fun to read, to see all the stories just come to life again. And it was very well received. I mean, for a couple
weeks,
we were number one on new releases in
Ghosts and Hauntings on Amazon.
Yeah.
We were in and out of that number one new release spot.
Yep.
Also, the Spiritualism, I believe, on Amazon as well. And yeah, it's been very well received. And we want to thank everybody that's picked up a copy of it.
Right.
You know, it might be propping up your table right now, but
putting your coaster for your coffee mug, whatever,
exactly.
You know, that's fine. But yeah, so we're very proud of this work. Upernatural Haunts, Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research Society case files. It's out there. It's available now. You can find it on Amazon, or if you're in the Sioux area, you can pick it up at stores, or if you just reach out to us on Creaking Door, we'd be happy to get one out too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So hopefully you can check that out if you haven't done so, or if you're going to be at the 10th annual Michigan Paranormal Convention. Of course, that's still going on.
Can you believe 10 years?
No.
When we put this together, we were guessing 2 years, max.
We
would get 2 years. We planned. We actually had rough speaker plans for 2 years because we thought that's all it would be. And here we are 10 years later.
Celebrating a decade of bringing the Michigan Paranormal Convention to the masses. And, you know, very proudly, too, Brad, we can stand back and look and watch how this has lasted the time. We've watched other events fall by the wayside. Mm-hmm. And we can easily call ourselves, you know, the biggest in the Midwest, if not one of the biggest in the U.S. now.
Absolutely.
That's just purely paranormal.
Paranormal.
Yeah.
Right. We don't get off much into the movies, the side entertainment gigs. We really try and keep it to the core audience of the paranormal research.
Yep.
We include UFO, ufology. We've got cryptozoology in there mixed in.
Yeah.
But at heart, it's a ghost conference.
You bet.
Yeah.
You bet.
And that's coming up August 22nd to 24th.
Yep.
Right here in our hometown of Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan.
You bet. Tickets are available right now. You can get them. We're trending to have our biggest conference yet, audience-wise.
Oh, absolutely.
We broke the record last year, and now we're already pacing ahead of last year. So we're looking good to have another amazing crowd here.
Yeah.
MIParacon.com. That's MIParacon, C-O-N, Paracon.com is where you can go to get your tickets, schedule, everything's there.
Yeah. A full list of presenters. We've got huge names again coming in this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a big event. I think we'll talk a little bit more in the show later on in the show on that too.
Right.
So,
in our last year and a half too, Brad, of not being in the studio for Creaking Door, you know, lots gone on in the paranormal field too. You know, a couple of big names just within the last year that I think we should at least mention, the passing of Lorraine Lorraine Warren and Stanton Friedman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What two big losses.
Both people we've had the pleasure of meeting in the past, mm-hmm. and Lorraine was such a sweet woman.
She was.
Say what you want. I know they get very controversial when you start talking about their case files.
Right.
And, of course, the whole Conjuring franchise that spawned out of that. Stanton Friedman, just a hell of a nice guy,
yes,
too.
Yes, he is.
You know, yeah, definitely those amongst others. But those are two big, big names in the field.
They were trailblazers in their
fields. They were. They really were. They really were. And we, you know, when we were kids, the only time you would see anything on the paranormal on television,
right,
or even on radio interviews, blah, 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 was Halloween. Mm-hmm. Every October, we would be glued to talk shows and different specials.
Right.
And the Warrens were who you saw on there.
You bet.
Ed and Lorraine Warren, Hans Holzer.
Hans Holzer.
Those were the type of people that we grew up with idolizing as children.
Yep, absolutely. And then on the UFO side, which we both were fans of, but it was fringe for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one guy you always saw back in the 80s and 90s was Stanton Friedman.
Yeah, yeah.
Leading the way. So, yeah, very sad news seeing the passing of them in the fields, for sure, of where they worked. Also, too, we've seen a lot coming back. Boy, oh, boy, you talk about an onslaught of the networks picking up new shows again. Five years ago, it looked like it was starting to die off.
Well, we thought it was.
Yeah.
And we assumed that would be the natural cycle of it.
Right.
And it would come back down to the hardcore enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. Does Travel Channel show anything that's not paranormal
anymore? I don't
know
if they do anymore. Them. And now A&E's getting into it more.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing to see. And we're starting to see some of the big names come back. As a matter of fact, we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But one thing I wanted to touch on, I found this. I still haven't gotten off my wallet yet to subscribe to Shudder, which
right.
is an online streaming service for horror movie fans.
Neither have I.
Yeah, and I really want to, but I barely have time as it is to watch what I want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So I just know it'd be a waste of money, even though I really, at some point I will, when I slow down a little bit. But I did notice, and I've been reading some articles on it, they're releasing in the this dust storm, this onslaught of all these new shows coming out, TV show or a series that'll be on their streaming service called Dead Detectives, as opposed to Ghost Hunters, which is going to be a spoof and tongue-in-cheek about the paranormal investigative craze that's going on right now. So I've been reading some articles on it. Some of the critics are really saying it's done well. It'll be interesting to see what comes of that, but I just found that kind of funny with all that's going on right now. Here comes Shudder rolling in and going to kind of poke a little fun at the field.
You know what surprised me still to this day? For as much as the cable networks put out and they've just embraced the paranormal field,
mm-hmm.
you've not seen one of the major networks put a paranormal show on prime time.
You're right.
In spite of all the reality television out there, you know, Survivor, Big Brother,
mm-hmm.
you have not seen a single paranormal show
not even
break
Halloween.
The mainstream. No.
No.
No,
very
it seems somebody would have jumped on it by now.
There must be something. The numbers that they pull must be just below what the major networks want. I don't know either.
I don't know if there's still controversy with the major networks not wanting to get into something like this. You know, God forbid, with the reality shows that are out there right now.
They've definitely dabbled in the occult side of it. I mean, remember Fox had The Exorcist for a couple seasons, and they've done stuff like that.
As strictly fictional shows.
Right.
And you know, kind of knocking off. The whole X-Files went in and out of occult shows.
Yep.
But yeah, as far as getting into reality ghost hunting or, you know, UFO hunting, any of the fringe categories.
Right.
They seem to have just sidestepped around that.
Well, you know what? Maybe if they threw Vanilla Ice into the mix.
Ooh.
That might bring them over to the network. That's a perfect segue into what we like to call Paranews.
Oh, I thought we were doing karaoke.
Oh, we can do that too if you want. It's our first show back. We'll do whatever we want.
Let's stick to the Paranews.
All right. Here we go. Back into our segments of Paranews, where we find a couple articles and stories out there that interest us, and that's why I went right into Vanilla Ice, because anytime Vanilla Ice is in the headlines, I'm reading.
You can't go wrong.
I can't go wrong. And then when you tie them in with Zach Bagans, you can't go wrong.
That is a dream team if I've ever heard of it.
Yes, it is. Well, Vanilla Ice apparently just recently went to Zach Bagans' haunted museum. He says he went there a skeptic, but came back a believer. on just this past week, TMZ posted footage of Ice Ice Baby rapper's visit to the famed Las Vegas Museum while there with a group of people sitting in the Oddfellows room, which contains two genuine human skeletons. And at one point in the video, you see Ice literally jump out of his seat in fear. He was clearly disturbed, looking around the room and moving further away from the chair in which he was seated while grabbing at his neck, looking at the lady partner that was with him, asking, "Did you blow on me? Did you blow on my neck?"
Giggity.
Yes. And then he goes on to say, "It wasn't just a blow. It was a real heavy." And then he impersonates it. It's like a big blow. And he says, "It was freezing cold. It chilled me to the bone. And I was looking around and I couldn't see anything." And this happened right in front of a group of people. The video's out there from TMZ if you want to look at it. And then they interview Ice later and they're like, "Look, I don't know what happened. I came here as a non-believer, but had to visit this place while I was here." And he goes, "All I know is something happened." He says, "I even looked around to see if there's like Disney type gadgets here that could have gotten me." He says, "I didn't find anything." Here's the thing. Maybe the ghost there have something for rappers, because Vanilla Ice is not the first rapper to have encountered at the Vegas Infamous Museum. Last June, Post Malone visited there and was present when Baggins removed the Dybbuk box, known as the world's most haunted object, from its case for the first time. And shortly afterward, Posty apparently said he had a series of unfortunate events, like being included in a plane that had to make an emergency landing, and he walked in on an armed robbery. So blame it on Zach's museum, if you wish, or the Dybbuk box. I don't know.
I have not been there yet. I haven't been out to Vegas since it's open.
Right.
I have friends who have gone there, and one I'm thinking of very specifically said, "You know, I didn't really want to go, and I didn't want to like it. I went, and I thought it was an amazing setup." He said there's obviously a lot of time, thought, and money put into the Baggins Museum.
Well, Baggins has got the money and the time. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it is on the list, I guess, now. The next time I get out that way, I will be making a stop,
I'm sure.
You almost have to.
You have to.
You almost have to. Yeah. So kicking into Stranger Things.
Yes.
Have you seen the new season yet?
I have not, but everything I have read about it and other people's responses is they are saying it's the best one yet.
It's my favorite yet.
Really?
It is my favorite yet. The kids are hitting that high school age, and I think it's almost something I can relate to more as when we were kids back in the 80s, much as them.
Running around and looking for these things.
Yeah, but it's I really enjoyed this season. So anyway, the Starcourt Mall, those of you that have seen the show now know that this is the hub for all the creepy, terrifying, most of the events in Stranger Things Season 3. But even when the cameras stopped rolling, the show's actors didn't feel much better. The cast has said that the mall's eerie feeling is no fiction, and there's good reason they felt uneasy while working there. Season 3 filmed partially in the Gwinnett Place Mall, located in Duluth, Georgia, is the scene of a 19-year-old Georgia State University student's murder. The student was found dead in an abandoned subway in the mall's food court in December of 2017. Her body had been there for around 2 weeks, they figured, before it had been discovered by a maintenance worker, and was she ended up being murdered by her boyfriend.
Wow.
Was the way that came out. It's unclear if the cast was aware of the murder during the filming of the season three. Even so, Finn Wolfhard, who plays Mikey on the show, said the place gave him and his co-stars the creeps. During a recent interview with Jimmy Fallon, he goes on to say it was a little haunted. A little haunted.
He just
said,
a little.
Every time we'd be in there, it'd be fun, and then all of a sudden everyone would stop, look at each other like, there's something wrong with this mall.
Wow.
Yeah, season three now available on Netflix. If you're a fan of the first two seasons, as I am,
yep,
you will love this one.
I very much loved one. I thought two was good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought one was better than two, but you're now at least the third person who I've heard say that it's the best season yet.
It's the first season. I've watched all seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It is the first season that I have sat and watched the entire season over a course of two nights.
You binged.
I binged.
Wow.
I binged, and I don't have a lot of time to binge.
Right.
That's how much it kept my attention.
Okay.
And you just wanted, honestly, when it ended, I wanted this season to keep going.
Yeah.
There's a lot of loose ends. They definitely left it wide open. I would be shocked if there is not a season four.
I just saw a headline today because one of the big comic cons are coming up or something. And they were already saying that the storyline is already set for season four is what they're saying.
They leave a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
They
right.
do leave a cliffhanger. If you're one of these people that shuts off the TV mm-hmm. as soon as the credits start, you can't on this one.
Oh, all
there,
right.
There's a little teaser that will definitely lead into the next season.
Awesome. All right. Can't wait to watch it. Here's my second story of Paranews. Now, do you go to the chiropractor at all?
No.
Me?
No.
I've gone a couple
Never
times.
Never had to. Knock on wood.
Yeah. People who go to them on a regular basis, on it, which whoever your doctor is, they swear by the practice of what the chiropractors do. And it's becoming more and more popular to the point now where even some of the major insurances are now accepting it because they're saying it can help with problems from allergies, appendicitis, diabetes, ADHD, colic, crossed eyes, everything, heart disease. They say it can all stem from nerves being pinched in the spine.
Can't you just buy a bottle of snake oil for that?
If you can find the right trail and covered wagon.
Just about everything.
That's right. So, but why I found this story so interesting is because I never thought I would read a story about the practice of chiropractic and a ghost story.
The two don't seem to lend each other.
They don't.
Yeah.
But it goes all the way back to the founding of the practice. Daniel David Palmer, who was born in Port Perry, Ontario, not too far from us, in 1845, invented the field of chiropractic care. Palmer moved to Davenport, Iowa when he was just 20 years old, where he took up magnetic healing, as it was called then. He also worked as a school teacher, raised bees, and opened a grocery store in his spare time. Upon all this, Palmer was also a spiritualist. He said the idea for a chiropractic came to him from the other world. During a seance where he communicated with the spirit of Dr. Jim Atkinson, who had died 50 years earlier, he claims. Now, according to Palmer, 95% of all disease is due to what he called subluxations. In chiropractic, subluxations occur when one or more of the bones of the spine move out of position and create pressure on the spinal nerves, causing all sorts of disease and blah, blah, blah. Palmer considered chiropractic a kind of a religion as it really started to pick up steam, and he stated in 1911 that the practice must have a religious head, one who is the founder, as was Christ and Muhammad. And others who founded religions, he says, I am the fountainhead.
Okay.
In 1911. Now, the local paper referred to him as a quack who claimed he can cure the
why.
Sick and crippled with his magnetic hands. He opened the Palmer School of Chiropractic in Davenport in 1897. He was eventually shut down, though, because he had no medical license.
Go figure.
At all. But look where the practice is today.
It's huge.
It's huge. And it all stems from what is claimed to be a visit from a ghost.
Something from spiritualism.
That's right.
Once again, rearing its head.
Absolutely.
So. Well, The Conjuring, world-famous franchise
yes.
that we all know and love. The house sold from the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
A man just bought the Harrisville home that was the inspiration for The Conjuring movie. And he claims there's a lot of paranormal activity going on in the house already. It's been very busy. Doors opening and closing on their own. Footsteps, knocking, disembodied voices, says Corey Heinzen, the new owner of the 1736 home, which was a real-life paranormal investigation used for... covered by Ed and Lorraine Warren,
right.
which became, of course, the basis for the widely popular Conjuring movie and all of the offshots of that now. You know, it's went in every different direction with the nun and Annabelle,
mm-hmm.
and now Annabelle Comes Home, I believe, is the latest.
Which is purely fiction.
Right.
Although many will say the other ones were, too.
Absolutely. But
this one, they say, isn't even based on a, quote, case file. This is just
right.
completely made up.
Right. Where the Conjuring house has been documented for years as
right.
having paranormal activity. Last night, he says, we had a black mist in one of the rooms. It looks like smoke. It'll gather in one place and then move to another, says Heinzen. Corey is signing a deal, go figure, with the Travel Channel that'll be producing a special
yep.
on the Conjuring House coming out this fall. By November, he also hopes to have a nonprofit tour group set up running tours and investigations of the house.
Here we go. And this is
going to be fun. This is something we can address at Paracon as well, because you and I will be on stage with the entire Perrin family. That's going to be
first
huge.
Time ever.
First time ever that they have all been on stage for a live interview. And we'll be doing Q&A. That'll be at Michigan Paracon. That's Thursday night, the 22nd. And yeah, usually it's just Andrea, and who is the oldest daughter, and her father, Roger, has become a regular with us as well. This year, the three surviving sisters will be there. Mom's not feeling well enough to travel, but she will be calling in from her home in Georgia. So looking forward to this. So I can't even say how amazing this is going to be.
Well, I'd seen a couple of weeks ago that Andrea had posted on her page about the selling of the home, because the, the previous owner wanted nothing to do with the paranormal world. Nothing.
Well, that was, it was after, because if you remember back, there was an episode shot there of Ghost Hunters.
That's right.
I want to say in the first couple of seasons, John Zaffis was in that episode. And they had, it was wide open to them. They let them come in. They let them investigate. Once the show hit, it was nonstop harassment, though, is what they claim, by fans of the show. So fans of the movie and the whole franchise. So, yeah, they've sold it, and it looks like it's going into the realm of commercial ghost hunting now.
Yeah, and I know Andrea had said in her post on her page, she says, I truly do hope the new owners will open this back up to the field, because she hopes that one day, and she believes that one day, too, she will own that home again. And she says, I want to open it up to the paranormal field, because I know what is there, and I know we can learn from it. So we'll see where this goes, but very, very interesting story for sure. All right. Well, there we go. Wrapping up our first para news back in the studios of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. It is so good to be back in here pushing these buttons and doing what we love, and that's to talk everything paranormal and weird and strange. And we're very, very excited about our next guest, our first guest back.
Our first guest back, and it's his first time coming inside the Creaking Door.
We
have never had him. He is calling in from the road. He's out filming right now for the upcoming show Ghost Nation. Mr. Steve Gonzalez.
That's right. We will be talking with him next, so stick around. This is Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com. Do you love your horror films, comic books, and TV shows served up with a side of what the f***? Then we have the place for you.
Slackjaw Punks!
Yeah, SlackjawPunks.com. We dare you to check them out. A podcast that focuses on all the new horror films, comic books, and TV shows, and interviews with the authors and directors, but covered only the way the guys from
Slackjaw Punks
can do it. Plus, you can enjoy written commentary on all of the new stuff, too, from a whole slew of staff writers. So stop wasting time and check it out.
Slackjaw Punks!
SlackjawPunks.com. Serving it up with a side of what the f***? And welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. Tim Ellis and Brad Blair with you. And Brad, again, it's exciting to be back in the studios for our first show back in over a year and a half now.
It is. And I can't think of a better guest to have.
No. And, you know, it's not many people we can find that we haven't had inside the Creaking Door yet. So to have this guy in for the first time in our comeback show, and especially what's on the horizon for him right now, too.
Absolutely.
Is what's
and
exciting.
And it's one of the nicest guys in the field of the paranormal that you will ever find.
Yeah.
He's one of the original cast members, I believe one of only maybe two that went the entire run of Ghost Hunters
Sci-Fi
Network.
Right. I think you're right.
We can ask him.
Yeah, we will. So right now, let's welcome inside the Creaking Door for the very first time from the original Ghost Hunters, and we're going to talk about his brand new show coming up. Please welcome inside Steve Gonzalez. Steve, thank you so much for coming on inside the Creaking Door.
Thanks, guys. It's quite an intro. Thank you. Very cool.
We spare no expenses here. We have the best sound effects and everything. So,
hey, man, great.
So, I'm just off the top of my head. Were you and Jason Hawes the only two members to run the entire series of Ghost Hunters?
Yeah. That's we're the only two. Yeah,
wow.
We went season one, obviously, all the way through 11. And, you know, we were fortunate that, you know, we could have kept going, but, you know, it was a good time to sort of see what's next for us.
Take a break.
Yeah, there's no doubt. It was a hell of a run for you guys. 2016, Ghost Hunters left the air on Sci-Fi, and then to the delight of many fans, not too long ago, it was officially announced that yourself, along with Jason Hawes, and then a member who came on to Taps a few years in, or came into Ghost Hunters a few years into the run, Dave Tango, the three of you are coming back this fall. Travel Channel, Ghost Nation. Congratulations, Steve.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That was pretty able to work that out. You know, Travel Channel really has opened their doors to our field and what we do. Mm-hmm. And we felt like it would make a good home for, you know, our style of investigating. And luckily, you know, the other paranormal shows on the network were very receptive to have us. You know, there was no sort of, oh, these guys. Everybody was kind of very, very cool about it. So we're very, very fortunate. And we're excited. You know, it's been a lot of fun. We're already a few months into filming. And it's been a blast. And we've had some great cases. And, you know, Travel Channel and the whole thing over there at Discovery have really embraced what we're all doing. And you guys know, you know, 10, 15 years ago, it most certainly wouldn't have been that way.
Right.
So, it's an exciting time. It really is.
So did it take some getting used to get back on the road and into filming, or was it like riding a bike? Did you just hop in the car and say, come on, let's do this?
Well, you know, luckily, I sort of stayed busy in the television world through documentaries and different projects. And it was okay having cameras in our faces again. But what is difficult is, you know, on Ghost Hunters very much so, okay, when you guys walk into this room, just make sure you all sort of line up in this weird way and talk. And it was all very structured in that sense. And this is, you know, very organic. You know, guys just walk in that room and talk. So I'll find myself trying to open up, you know, do things. And
right.
I remember that, you know, habits that are hard to break, that sort of thing. it's been pretty easy in terms of transitioning back into the camera situation.
Yeah, you had mentioned something pretty interesting, Steve, a couple segments ago, where you had said that, you know, you're being welcomed with open arms now, welcome back, and everyone's wanting to talk to you about it and this and that. But 10 years ago, when you guys came out with Ghost Hunters, it wasn't that way. And it just brought me back to a funny story that Brad and I actually share quite a bit when we're out doing speaking engagements. And, you know, I remember him calling me one day on the phone. He's like, dude, you're not going to believe it, but the Sci-Fi Channel is bringing this TV show on that's actually going to, like, show what we do. And I looked at him and I said, do they know how boring that is? You know, sitting around in a dark room for hours? And it brought me right back to that moment. And then that show was Ghost Hunters, and it just blew the doors off the field, though. But, man, how different it was back then.
It really was. I mean, you know, before our show, there were, and you guys will remember, there may have been 7 or 8 paranormal teams in the entire country, maybe, you know.
And, right.
One of the big problems when we first, you know, were approached with a TV show, and we said no, you know, Jason, Grant, myself, for a few years, just in respect of, we can't get any places. There are no clients that want people to know their house is haunted.
Exactly.
You know, we have to hide our cousin back. You know, we can't. This is, you know, confidential. And now it's just so open. And there, you know, there's a team in every city just about. And it's really great to see how far it's come. Because, you know, in 2004, when our show first aired, even up until season two, people were like, oh, yeah, those weirdos. Oh, gosh. You know, and then by season, you know, the end of season two, we were, you know, signing autographs in Walmarts and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, right, because we used to.
Oh, I was just saying it, but yeah, it's a very, very fun circle to see it come around that way.
Yeah.
It really is, because we used to go out and it was the same thing. Discretion was rule number one. You did not tell anyone where you were going. You did not tell whose house, where, blah, blah, blah. Now it seems like everybody wants their house to be haunted. And when we come in, if we don't make sure nobody's there, mm-hmm. their family will have friends over and it ends up being entertainment night.
Right.
Like game night. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really come a long ways since. And we owe a lot of that to you and the cast and the original show of Ghost Hunters.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. We're just... I guess the right team at the right time, perhaps. But, it was cool to see, you know, the field before our show and the field after our show. And, you know, we had a bit of a part in sort of kicking the doors open in that regard. So that's a pretty cool thing to be a part of.
Kicking those doors open and saying, we're here, bitches. Here we go. So, Steve, here it is now, 2019. And, you know, we're talking about how different it was back then when Ghost Hunters first started. Now, 2019, Ghost Nation is coming to the airwaves. What has changed then from the way you guys are conducting your investigations with Ghost Nation? One thing that really caught my eye was in the promotional piece that was pushed out. There's a line in there that said, but now a whole new nation of ghost hunters is at their fingertips. So is that alluding to maybe teaming up with teams in the areas that you go to?
Yeah, absolutely. As you know, our local team TAPS, we have a reach of an organization of investigators all around the country and that sort of thing. And we put a new sort of global team together, people that we can network with and get around with. And it's been great, you know, sort of when these teams don't really know where else to turn, they're sort of calling us in.
Right.
And what's nice about that is we really are helping people. You know, Ghost Hunters very much was a preliminary investigation. You know, what you see is we go in, we check things out, we see what we can, we find what we can, and then we hand it over to the local team and let them know what we're doing from there. We give them some aftercare, but it's not us.
Right.
And this show, we're very much taking the time, spending the time at these locations to do a completely thorough investigation, you know, from beginning to end, you know, through to a conclusion for our clients, which is very important.
And, you bet it is.
You know, a focus on private residences where we're actually helping families, that sort of thing.
So you're getting back into the home investigations with this?
Yeah, a lot of homes. You know, we never really left the houses. You know, every season they still sprinkled in some private residences, but we still, every time we went to, if we did an asylum and say, you know, an underground tunnel or something, I'm making things up, but, you know, we also did a private residence or two, but it was always up to sci-fi what they chose to air. And, you know, bottom line is when you're doing private residences, coming across, you know, activity is back then anyway, a little more difficult. So you'd have, you know, more action at these bigger places, and they would choose to air those over the residences. But we've been fighting back a little bit with this show to try to get those private residences worked back in.
That's great, because I think that really hits home with the audience, really hits close to home for a lot of people. When you're seeing a family involved, the children that you're helping, and how you can just really kind of change the life of a family inside their own home.
For sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, that's what we sort of based ourselves on and what our show was built on and what our team was built on. None of us are in the field for, our own. I mean, we are selfishly. We all want to have experiences and push the field. And, we all want that as paranormal investigators. But I think we all feel just as good when we're able to just, help the family So it's been great. It's been an awesome ride so far.
Steve Gonzalez is our guest inside the creaking door for our trip back inside, our first show back in over in a year and a half. Steve, along with Dave Tango and Jason Haas, coming back to the television Travel Channel this fall for Ghost Nation for a brand new paranormal investigative program.
Do we have a debut date yet for the first episode, Steve?
You know, we do not have what they call a hard date. You know, we don't have that sort of... How much longer
are you guys planning on being on the road filming?
Because you're on the road right now, right, Steve? You're calling us, like, literally between shoots.
Yeah, that's right. I'm in Tennessee right now, and I got to get back in there in about 20 minutes. We're in the middle of it right now. Yeah, it's been awesome. It's super, super fun.
I think you touched on this real quick here already, Steve, but in that hiatus from Ghost Hunters leaving and now you guys filming for Ghost Nation, what have you been doing personally to just keep yourself busy? Sounds like you're doing some documentaries. I know you love music. Were you out there jamming and doing some of that as well?
You know, I did find some time to sit behind some drums here and there. Stayed busy in the documentary world. Executive and directed one that should be out in October or so.
Oh, nice.
Really mixing a lot of science and real deal. You know, we didn't just take anything for granted. We had a panel of physicists and geologists and meteorologists and really getting the answers, the real answers.
Wow.
You know, and I actually, through the process, answered a lot of things for myself, you know, not to give anything away, but I found the physicists definitively that, you know, limestone and different stones can most certainly hold energy, which I never really thought too much of. I mean, that theory has always bounced around, but how do we know for sure?
Right, and that's great to hear because, we talk about the stone tape theory quite a bit, and I can't wait to see what you guys found on this now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's been great. And these are people who do not believe in paranormal. You know, you'll see in the documentary, I asked one of them, I said, do you believe in ghosts? And he laughed at me. What am I, a scientist? I believe in science. He's like, what's wrong with you? getting that unbiased information, you know, a very objective, there's no lean or sway there, is quite valuable. And I got into the night vision game, sort of developing new technology and that sort of thing.
Excellent.
But other than that, we spent the years navigating the television world. You know, we all had to sort of navigate these roads of contracts and different things to make sure that through the end of it all, you know, Jason Tango and I could still be on a show together and not pulled apart in different directions,
right,
sort of thing.
So
so we're very happy to be there.
And with what you've learned on the documentary, Steve, and what you've learned in your time since Ghost Hunters ended and you're working on Ghost Nation now, are you approaching things a little bit differently? Have you, obviously you've learned and matured in that time?
Yeah, that's actually a great question. I have gone, and some people may not agree with this or like it that much, but I've done an incredible deep dive and study into particle physics and that sort of thing, and I've come to the determination that if anything we see with our eyes that happens in the physical world, 100% has to obey the laws of physics and science. So I'm always taking that into consideration with my investigation now, knowing exactly how some of these things and elements can and can't work has been very, very, very valuable to me in my investigation, and I think others that I investigate with. But other than that, the same way, you know, keeping those basic scientific principles, two's a coincidence, three's a pattern, all that kind of stuff is what's important. But other than that, we do what we've always done. We stay tried and true to, you know, our methods and protocols and procedures. But for me, I've gone that way. And, you know, if it doesn't agree with particle physics, it most likely isn't happening here and before our eyes. That sort of thing.
That's great. Now, you and Tango are going to be taking a little break and coming up here and visiting with us in August for Michigan Paracon 10.
We're excited for that.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks for having us. I mean, we're all... Tango and I are very, very excited for that.
Oh, yeah. You guys are joining Dustin Perry, Grant Wilson, Amy Bruni, and Adam Berry on stage for our headline panel on Saturday. August 24th, that will be, I believe. So a lot of people looking forward to this one, especially with now the big news that you guys are coming out with Ghost Nation. You've got Amy and Adam off doing Kindred Spirits, and now Grant's news of a new Ghost Hunters series that they're launching. So I think that's going to be great. Aaron Sagers is sitting in as a special guest moderator for that. So I know a lot of people looking forward to that panel.
And that all that news came out after we had put this panel together. And as this news is coming out, I'm like, my God, do people realize we got all them on stage together now? So it was really exciting watching all this happen.
Yeah, I mean, that did happen. I mean, I remember sitting down with you guys. It was almost 2 years ago now. And, and you had said, hey, we were interested in doing, you know, a larger panel with some of the original and some of the later cast members. Would you all be interested in sitting on a stage together? And, you know, of course, we're all friends. You know, we don't care, of course.
Right.
But literally, you know, we knew we would have something because, you know, luckily all those wheels were turning. But I don't know, we didn't know what, where, when, neither did anyone else. So it's pretty cool to see where it's all coming from now. And by August, you know, we'll all be
a lot more news. You know, yeah. Definitive dates,
right,
I'm sure, and everything.
Exactly.
So that's exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I believe this is Steve and Dave's third time with us. I think so. I think this will be your third time making this trip up this far north. So
yeah, this will be my third time. Tango's
second. You're right. Dave didn't come with you that last time. You're right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Well, wonderful, Steve. Look, we don't want to hold you up anymore, man. I can't believe you're taking time out of an actual filming. So and you got to run back in. So that's awesome. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. Keep doing what you guys are doing out there. Stay safe, and we're going to see you guys here in Sault Ste. Marie for the 10th annual Michigan Paranormal Convention in August. All right.
Thanks, guys. Hey. It's been fun chatting with you, and we'll see you in August.
All right. Great.
Thanks, Steve.
You bet. There we go. That is Steve Gonzalez. He'll be with Jason Haas and Dave Tango, Ghost Nation, coming to Travel Channel this fall. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more on the way with Creaking Door Paranormal Radio, powered by SlackJawPunks.com.
Do you love your horror films, comic books, and TV shows served up with a side of what the f***? Then we have the place for you.
Slackjaw Punks!
Yeah, SlackjawPunks.com. We dare you to check them out. A podcast that focuses on all the new horror films, comic books, and TV shows, and interviews with the authors and directors, but covered only the way the guys from
Slackjaw Punks
can do it. Plus, you can enjoy written commentary on all of the new stuff, too, from a whole slew of staff writers. So stop wasting time and check it out.
Slackjaw Punks!
SlackjawPunks.com. Serving it up with a side of what the f***?
Welcome back inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio with Tim Ellis and Brad Blair as we are back after a year and a half hiatus. It's so good to be back in the studios. And again, Brad, what a great guest to have as our kickoff show, Steve Gonzalez.
Right. Ghost Nation coming sometime this fall.
Yes.
We don't have a set, like you said, no hard date yet. They're on the road filming right now, which was so awesome of Steve to take some time out of the
it
day.
It was.
And,
he's
and
filming.
He is.
And he's got more things to worry about than coming out inside the Creaking Door, but he took time for us.
That's how nice of a guy he is. And again, watch this fall his new documentary, The House in Between.
Just sounds creepy.
It does. Yeah. And what he's told us about it and everything that he's been doing on the side, it's fascinating. It's different areas of scientific analysis of the paranormal that we talk about in private quite a bit.
Right.
It's not something you see in the television genre at all.
No.
I don't think it would hold attention if it was.
And that's just it. That's why they don't. It's the more of the and I don't say this in a negative way at all. It's the easier stuff that you can follow without having to have to pay attention real hard.
Right.
You know, it's ghost hunting 101, basically.
It's easier to put a soundtrack to.
Yes, very true. There you go. And, of course, their new show, Ghost Nation, coming to Travel Channel this fall. No specific date on that yet. By the way, have you watched it yet, that Travel Channel also has brought back Ripley's Believe It or Not?
I have not seen that yet.
It's fun.
Is it?
Yeah.
I love Bruce Campbell.
Right.
I loved Ash, the character, of course, from Evil Dead. And
right.
I have not had a lot of of time this summer to actually sit in front of a television, I'll be honest.
Yeah, and I really haven't either. I think I caught it one Sunday afternoon or something. But and they do it just like the one that they did when we were kids growing up. Like, there'll be some segments that are like 2 minutes long, and then there'll be a segment that's like 10 minutes long. And so it's just, it's got that same feel to it, the same flow, and that's what I really appreciate.
I thought when I saw they cast him as the head commentator host of the show, I thought that was a brilliant move.
Yes, I did too.
I thought that was a brilliant move.
I did too.
He's got his own fan base out there that will watch just because it's him doing it.
Yeah.
They did last year, and I forget which network it was, and I believe it's already gone. They rebooted In Search Of.
I never saw an episode.
I didn't either.
No. The only thing they're missing now is That's Incredible. Remember that one?
That was great.
That one? That's incredible. I love it.
I always remember there was one episode of that where they filmed a ghost. There was stuff moving in, I want to say, a Toys R Us store. In California,
yes.
I believe. That episode gave me the creep so much. And that's when we were kids and just, you know, before we even got kind of wet into this field.
Yeah.
So I always remember that was my favorite episode of that show.
It was. Mine too. I remember that one specifically. I remember seeing one of those little balls bouncing down or something. Yeah.
Yep.
Good stuff. Love it. All right. So in our closing segment, for those who do not remember, of course, we do a segment we call Mailbag.
We do?
Yeah. Do you not remember either? You can send us questions. It's very simple. Go to our Facebook page. Find us, Creaking Door Paranormal Radio on Facebook. We're the only one on there. You can submit questions there. We've even said you could submit cooking questions, even though Brad and I don't really cook a whole lot. But
we've got a web page, too.
We do have a web page,
CreakingDoorParanormal.com.
That's
right.
It's
still there. I checked.
It's still there. All right.
We're still there. And we tweet.
We do tweet. We tweet. We Facebook. And we do have a website. So you can check us out.
We haven't bumped up to the Instagram or any of that.
We're not gramming yet.
So no. We're still kind of, we're playing it old school.
And that Snapchat thing, I don't know if we'll go there either. But we are out there. You can find us. So you can submit a question for Mailbag anytime. And then we'll go through and pick our favorites and answer as many as we can. This one I thought was very fitting for our welcome show back, Brad. This comes from David out of Seattle, Washington. David's mailbag question was very simple. Where the hell have you guys been? Period.
Well, David, everywhere.
Yes. Thank you for the question. And we've actually received that question many, many a times through our Facebook page. And as Brad had said, through people that he met when he was traveling at some conferences. And we haven't gone anywhere per se. We've been here. It was a matter of getting the new accommodation set up to support what we needed. We didn't want to just duct tape it. We wanted to make sure we had what we needed so it sounded good. And we're back now. So we couldn't be more excited. And we kept ourselves busy, that's for sure, and the paranormal and just in regular life in general. But it's good to be back.
It seemed like a good time to come back, too.
It sure did.
Everything happens for a reason, and I think this has flowed into this time period for that. There's so much going on in the paranormal right now.
Yes.
Like I said, in the entertainment field, in the reality television field, in the scientific field.
Everything.
Like Steve just explained some of the scientific. There's so much going on right now that it's a great time to be involved in this field.
Yeah. You're right. And I was really excited when I heard Steve mention that they've done some research, and he said he's got some stuff that makes him a believer in the stone tape theory.
Right.
Which is very exciting because we talk about that quite a bit in our presentation.
Without knowing what we're talking about, we talk about that quite a bit.
Now we do.
No, I'm really looking forward to this documentary, The House in Between, that he worked on. It sounds great. Hopefully we have Steve back in when that comes out and we can talk a little bit more in depth on that. Of course, right now, his time's all wrapped up with Ghost Nation.
Right, absolutely. So he's a busy, busy man. We are as well, but it's great to be back in the studios. As you had said, Brad, everything happens for a reason. Even when we first went on the air, we had been talking about wanting to do a podcast. We just weren't sure what platform we wanted to use, how we were going to do it. We were approached by the owners of SlackJawPunks.com. They are not smart enough to have kicked us to the curb yet, so we're still here, and we couldn't be happier. So we launched it back then when we knew it was right. We came back on the air now when we knew it was right. And same with our book.
Right.
We wanted to write a book. We didn't know exactly how we wanted to approach it. Rosemary Ellen Guiley came to us, and our book is out there now.
Yeah, no, couldn't have had a better person to oversee.
Oh, amen to that.
And just coach us along than Rosemary. Yeah. So that was great. Book's out, Upernatural Haunts. You can get it on Amazon. Mm-hmm. We're back in studio. You can catch Creaking Door at all of our old places.
That's
iTunes,
right.
Stitcher, Google Play, our home base at slackjawpunks.com.
Mm-hmm.
Just go in there, click on... I believe they have a site that is strictly for podcasts now. But
they do.
If you go through and click into the podcast section, you will find Creaking Door. All of our past shows are archived in there, as well as this one. Hopefully, you follow along again.
Yeah. And for those who have stuck with us, thank you. For those who are new, welcome. And as Brad had said, you can find all of our past shows in there inside of slackjawpunks.com. Well, Bradley, I think it's time to close the door, shut the lights off, and... But at least we know how to push these buttons again.
We figured it out.
Yes. So that's going to do it for this episode of Creaking Door Paranormal Radio. And again, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and right here on our home at slackjawpunks.com. On behalf of our producers, Brad Blair, and myself, Tim Ellis, thanks for coming on inside Creaking Door Paranormal Radio.
The Creaking Door.